My colleague Danya Carroll and I are very excited to share a little bit of the ongoing story of Mogro, which is a mobile grocery truck that was conceived and designed to reduce obesity and increase food security among Pueblo peoples of the American Southwest. Before we go any further, I'd like to say that both Danya and I have no relationships to disclose.
Good afternoon. As Katie said, my name is Donna Carroll, and I am White Mountain Apache and Navajo from Arizona. And I currently work with the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health. And just to give you some background on the center itself, the mission of the center is to work in partnership with American Indian and Alaska Native communities to raise American Indian and Alaska Native health status, self-sufficiency, and health leadership to the highest possible level. And the center itself has been working with tribal communities in the Southwest for a little over 30 years, so we really have a strong relationship with these communities and populations. So we are currently implementing a nutrition program called the Feast for the Future program, and it consists of a wide array of programs guided by community advisory boards in each community to really encourage healthy lifestyles around through cultural revitalization in each community. So we have an edible school garden program, and it's basically a curriculum that we teach throughout the school year to third to fifth graders. And we have a traditional foodways education program, which is basically a youth elder program where we bring in elders and they teach the children about the local foods and why they're important to their communities. And we also have the mobile grocery program, which we'll be discussing today, the farmers markets, community farms, gardens, and orchards. We have our site, we have a family garden program, so we have over 40 gardens that are scattered throughout the reservation currently enrolled. We offer farmers workshops and education, so really providing knowledge for community members on how to grow their own food and bring back those food practices. And lastly, a newer initiative is the Community Equipment Co-op, and this is being offered in the Santo Domingo site. So they are working on providing equipment like tractors to community members so they can actually plow their fields and start growing their own foods. So the Mogro program itself initially began with different partners. So the center worked in partnership with the Santo Domingo Community Advisory Board, the Schneiders Family Foundation, and the La Montanita Co-op. So this group of people came together. They really wanted to address food insecurity, obesity, and food access among indigenous communities in New Mexico in particular. And the partnerships have grown. There have been new partners such as the Santa Fe Community Foundation and the Skarsgård Farms. So this whole project began when a baseline survey was conducted in 2010. So 304 households completed surveys in Santo Domingo Pueblo, and one of the main questions that was asked was, do you feel there is a need for a truck that sells healthy fresh foods and groceries in the community? So as you can see, we got an overwhelming response of 96%, indicating that they would be interested in having a mobile food truck in their communities. And as this quote says, our community is about 35 to 40 miles from the nearest grocery store. That's one of the biggest challenges of getting fresh produce to the community. So it's essentially what we think of as a food desert. A lot of community members have to travel far to get fresh fruits and vegetables and those more healthier foods. So it's a real access issue there. The next year, in 2011, 101 households were surveyed again in Santo Domingo Pueblo, and they were basically asked if they would be plan on shopping in a mobile grocery store, and 92% of them indicated that they would. So this is what began the MoGrow truck or MoGrow service itself. So MoGrow 1.0 started in 2011, and it was really envisioned to be holistic, because when you're working in Native communities, it's really important that programs and services like this are holistic. So not only offering the groceries and the foods themselves, but it also offered physical fitness activities, nutrition education, and cooking classes. And it also worked with local farmers so they could sell their produce there, and also provided employment for local community members. So this initial setup was very labor intensive. So actually setting it up and tearing it down was a very intense process. And since it was outside, the customers and the staff and equipment were really subjected to adverse weather conditions. So it was windy, so getting the food and the produce, and that became an issue, and sometimes that deterred people from actually shopping there. So that's when the center and the San Domingo partners met together, and they decided to have an operational suspension with the MoGrow truck itself. So later that year, in August 2011, it took a temporary service break to improve the design of the truck and the quality of the foods and the overall customer shopping experience. So the store was moved inside. There was now air conditioning and less issues with the weather. So in the following year, June 2012, MoGrow 2.0 was launched, and these pictures show the new design of the truck. So here are some community members that are buying different produce there, and the response was very positive, and that there were less issues with, you know, weather and being outside. So initially, when MoGrow started, it would be based on invitation from the community to MoGrow to come into the community and provide an informational meeting. So if the community was interested in moving forward, they would invite MoGrow to bring services to their tribe and their people. And because tribes are sovereign nations, they would have to get approval from the tribal governor and the tribal council. And letters of approval and resolutions were received from the tribe. And if the tribe was interested, they would also draft a memorandum of understanding with MoGrow. And so it began in June 2011. It initially began in the Santo Domingo and Cochiti Pueblos, which are located near Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then it later expanded the next year to San Felipe and Jemez Pueblos. And then in around November 2012, it expanded to another pueblo, which is Cochiti Lake. Now, Katie will talk about the MoGrow evaluation.
Thanks, Danya. So while Danya was doing a lot of the work in her community for Feast for the Future, I was in Alaska looking at a computer screen with lots of data on it. So MoGrow was evaluated in two different ways. First of all, there were household surveys conducted both in Santo Domingo Pueblo and in San Felipe Pueblo, both at baseline and at 3 follow-up points for Santo Domingo and at 2 follow-up points for San Felipe. And these are relatively large. They were about 100 households in each community, and the communities are fairly small, with about 500 households in Santo Domingo and 430 in San Felipe. There were also customer experience surveys conducted at three time points between November 2013 and May 2014. The second one was done in January 2014. And from all of these different evaluation methods, we noticed some trends that appeared. Consistent satisfaction with MoGrow, increased access to healthy foods, decreased food insecurity, positive diet changes, and increasing desire for a healthier diet. And I'll talk about each of these in more detail on the following slides. And as I do, I've invited some audience members to read quotes from our MoGrow participants that they shared on each of the slides, so you'll hear that throughout. So first is MoGrow satisfaction, and in the words of MoGrow customers, thank you. So on our three customer experience surveys, which were convenience surveys conducted over a one-week period in all of the sites that MoGrow visited, so all six communities, between 93 and 96% of survey respondents said that they would recommend MoGrow to their family and friends. 90% on all three surveys said that they were satisfied with MoGrow products, and between 68 and 70% on all three surveys said that they felt MoGrow products were better than similar products they could find at other stores. Increased food access. In the words of a MoGrow customer,
we are grateful for this service. Without it, we would have to drive 50 miles for healthy organic food and fresh produce. We hope this service continues.
Thank you. So on the three customer experience surveys, between 93 and 96% of survey respondents said that MoGrow had made it easier to access healthy foods, such as fresh fruits, vegetables, grains, and beans. About two-thirds, 61 to 63%, said that that MoGrow food was healthier than food at other stores where they could have shopped. Decreased food insecurity. So for these statistics, we use the household surveys, so both conducted at baseline and over the 2 to 3 follow-ups, depending on whether it was Santo Domingo or San Felipe. So in Santo Domingo, food insecurity, as reported on these household surveys, declined from 42% at baseline to 27% at the final household survey, which was a consistent number that showed up during our customer experience surveys that were conducted later on. And this is only for individuals that indicated that they would shop at MoGrow, because the percentage of individuals who didn't plan to shop at MoGrow was so small at the beginning that we couldn't use it as a statistical point. In San Felipe, our numbers declined from 46% at baseline to 28% at our last household experience survey. And it didn't decline among the individuals who said they didn't plan on shopping at MoGrow. So although these numbers declined, and they both declined significantly, 27 and 28% of MoGrow shoppers who experienced food insecurity is still a relatively large number, and thankfully it didn't decline throughout our customer experience survey, showing that MoGrow was still reaching a fairly food insecure population. Positive diet changes. In the words of MoGrow customers,
that me making small changes now will make my children continue to do the same and they continue the healthy lifestyle for them and their future children. MoGrow is doing a great job. I heard great comments about MoGrow and tried it. I love it. Changed my way of feeding my family.
Thank you. So about two-thirds of customer experience survey respondents indicated positive diet changes for themselves. Over half, between 51 and 57%, indicated positive diet changes for their family members. And about half, 52 to 55%, said that MoGrow had changed the kinds of food they bought for their family. And the most common reported changes, both for self, for their family, and in the new kinds of food, were that they were eating healthier, eating fresh fruits and vegetables, eating more fruits and vegetables, and eating organic food. Desire for a healthier diet. In the words of a MoGrow customer,
MoGrow makes a huge difference in how our community starts making healthier choices.
Thank you. So although most of our data remained consistent throughout our three customer experience surveys, including our demographic information, there were some trends, including these three that you see on our slide, that were the desire to change diet nutrition habits, the desire to eat more vegetables, and the desire to eat more fruit, which we saw consistently increase at each of the time points of our customer experience surveys. And although they're not statistically significant increases, we feel that this is a positive trend. So as you've heard, our MoGrow was very well received by the communities in which it has been serving. However, it wasn't entirely economically sustainable. So MoGrow continues to evolve, and just in September of this year, September 2014, it's gone into its third iteration as MoGrow 3.0, which there's now a partner with Skarsgård Farms instead of La Montañita Co-op. And it's been transitioned to Santa Fe Community Foundation. So Johns Hopkins is no longer the driver of this, but it's been turned over to a local community in an attempt to make it more sustainable. And they've found a new version of MoGrow, which is more like a what you might know as a CSA-type distribution, where food clubs have been created in each of the communities by community members. And the next MoGrow truck, which you see on our slide in the upper right, will deliver pre-ordered food packages to each of the food clubs. So the hope is that they'll be able to serve more individuals because they won't be sitting in a church parking lot or a school parking lot for a majority of the day, but will actually be able to deliver pre-ordered food. And this has been very well received by the communities so far, much to the delight of the Santa Fe Community Foundation that has taken over MoGrow. So we hope that it will continue to be successful, and Johns Hopkins will continue to provide the evaluative support where it's needed, but we hope that this is able to be sustainable. So thank you very much for listening to us, and I think we have some time to take a few questions.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was very interesting, and a really interesting model in all the versions, 1.0 through 3.0. some of the images you showed, though, it looked like, while there's a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, some of them were, there were too many shelves of canned products and, carbonated beverages and things that you wouldn't think there'd be such difficulty finding elsewhere. I'm just trying to figure out why there would be that presence on the MoGrow truck that could potentially displace things that this community really needed, like the fresh produce.
Sure. So the product line has also continued to evolve throughout the story of MoGrow. And what you saw as carbonated beverages were actually carbonated water, which is something that there had been a demand for. And the primary products are, of course, fresh fruits and vegetables, which we talked about a lot, but also whole grains and beans, which we found the communities like to purchase in more non-perishable formats. So you saw the canned and the bags of food. But again, the product line has continued to shift. And usually MoGrow also offers food samples to get customers acquainted with new foods as they're introduced on the truck, and have been responsive to community needs as well. I know that blue corn masa was something that was introduced in response to community needs, so there are those items as well.
Wait. So the question was that with the MoGrow users, the community food or SNAP for the distribution, right?
Well,
I was wondering if the tribal organization is SNAP or commodity food, USDA program, and then with either one, how did that interrelate with MoGrow?
Yeah, so they do offer SNAP services there, and they also use the food distribution program with Indian people, and although that program is not as heavily used now, but actually MoGrow, they do accept SNAP benefits, so people that are on those services can come to MoGrow and shop and use their benefits there. So that's how they've kind of integrated those food assistance program into their services.
And that will continue with the CSA model.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. This is a really one kind of following up on the SNAP thing, but you know, how does pricing at Mogro compare to sort of the grocery stores or maybe, and this kind of leads into the second part, you know, are there other convenience stores where people shop in the community, you know, when Mogro isn't there, and you know, how does the product selection and pricing differ?
So as far as price, at least with Mogro 2.0, the prices were subsidized. So the products were much cheaper than similar products at other stores that individuals in these communities might be able to shop. And often folks would drive into Albuquerque to shop for other sorts of food. So they would find a different selection of items, some of which may be cheaper because of their quality than the items at Mogro. So that's a continuing challenge.
Yeah, and they do, like when they have farmers markets, their produce is a lot cheaper than if you were to go to, like, say, Whole Foods. Their organic produce is a lot cheaper. And in terms of, I guess, food availability around this area, they do have a lot of convenience stores, and that's where a lot of people get their food, but they also have, like, really small supermarkets that are available. They have, like, one that services, like, 5 or 6 Pueblos around that area. But like Katie said, they have to travel to maybe Grants, which is about 30 miles away, or Albuquerque, which is 40 to 50 miles away.
Provided a list of the communities that participated in Mogro, and y'all mentioned that the tribal councils had to approve, you know, the concept coming into their communities. Were there any of the tribal councils that didn't approve it? And if so, what were the reasoning?
So the way Mogro operated was that a community actually had to come to Mogro and request their services. And it was widely known that Mogro was operating within these communities because of the longstanding relationship that they had with Johns Hopkins, as well as the closeness of all of these communities. So no one approached Mogro and requested their services that in the end denied them coming into the community. Yeah.
Hi, this is Alyssa again from Tulane. Thank you guys for your presentation. It was really great. I'm wondering, as the program has evolved from 1.0 to 3.0, it seems like you've shifted structures and the types of services you provide. I'm also wondering, as you move towards a sustainable model, how has the financial model also shifted, if at all?
So Mogro was started with a number of different funders. The Schneiders family actually built the truck and then donated it to Johns Hopkins to use. Kellogg Foundation also provided a lot of support. And then the Schneiders Foundation also designed and built the second truck, Mogro 2.0. So there's been a lot of ongoing funding, which we have used to subsidize the food available on the truck as well. But to transition, as you said, to a more sustainable model, we know that we can't rely on grant funding. So that's how Mogro 3.0 has come into place, is we're hoping to have something where we won't need to have consistent grant funding to make it sustainable. Yeah?
Hi, this is really interesting. My name is Jasmine Meyer. I'm actually an MPH student here in town at LSU. But just a few months ago, I was a community health worker at La Familia Medical Center in Santa Fe, and we worked directly with Rebecca, the Santa Fe Community Foundation, to develop and implement the Mogro 3.0 pilot program. So I just want to say it's really interesting to Faith's presentation. And as far as the financial aspects of the Mogro 3.0, it's gone through a couple of incarnations itself. Wherein at first La Montina was still supplying the produce for the CSA, and patients and employees of the clinic that we worked at bought into it, and thus gave a little bit of extra money back to Mogro, making potentially what was happening in the Pueblos a little more sustainable financially. And then in the end, they coupled with Skarsgård Farms to have the CSA. So if there is the CSA model that's now sort of subsidizing the costs for the big truck, is how I understand it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Glad you're here.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. So.